Welcome to today's episode of Ask the Experts. With us today is Shelley Blue, Director of Legislative Awareness and Training. Before we begin today's podcast, I would like to read the following disclaimer. This podcast is designed to highlight various employee benefit matters of general interest to our listeners. It is not intended to interpret laws or regulations or to address specific client situations. You should not act or rely on any information contained herein without seeking the advice of an attorney or tax professional. Shelley, my first question is on the No Surprises Act. It is now in effect in the United States, so are ambulances covered under this law?
Thank you, Jim. The No Surprises Act is still new to many of us. There are some lawsuits that are pending about certain parts of the law, but I'm getting lots of concerns about ambulance. So air ambulances are covered by the No Surprises Act. Ground ambulances are not covered by the No Surprises Act. So if an ambulance drives to your house and takes you to the hospital, it is not covered by the No Surprises Act.
Now, Shelley, if the company or employer is in one state with some of the employees living in another state, how does the employer offer state continuation?
So this one always catches a lot of people. The employer must offer continuation coverage based on the state of residence of the employee. So as an example, if the employee lives in New Jersey but travels to New York daily for work, the state continuation for New Jersey is what would apply. Most states offer continuation for employer groups under 20, not everyone, so you have to check and make sure the state of residence of your employee that they do offer continuation. If you are 20 or more employees, then you're covered by federal COBRA. You don't have to worry about state continuation. And also one final note on state continuation is the duration of state continuation varies based on the states. Some offer 3 months, some offer 9, some offer 18, some offer 36. So you need to check on the specific law of the state of residence of your employee.
Now, our next question pertains to SHOP. So, can an employer still claim a SHOP credit for their small business health insurance?
Yes, SHOP credit is still available. We have just passed March 23rd, and that is the 12th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, but we are still working with a lot of these laws, and yes, SHOP credit is still available. SHOP is the Small Business Health Options Program for employers with fewer than 25 full-time equivalent employees. There's some rules required for the SHOP. The employer must offer at least 50%. The employer must offer and pay at least 50% of the employee-only premium. The average annual wages for those employees would be less than $50,000. The tax credit is available to tax-exempt organizations as well. The tax credit maximum is up to 50% of the premium for small businesses and up to 35% for tax-exempt organizations. The tax credit can be claimed for 2 consecutive years, and to claim that credit, you use Form 8941. So you'll need to likely work with your accountant or your tax preparer to get that Form 8941. The SHOP plan can be purchased through healthcare.gov. If your state has a state-based exchange or marketplace, each of those marketplaces have specific rules. Some require you to purchase the coverage from the exchange or marketplace. Other states allow you to purchase the SHOP coverage directly from the insurance carrier. An estimate of the credit is available via the IRS website or by working with your accountant to calculate.
So, Shelley, the ACA has been the law now for 12 years. There are still lots of questions about control groups. Can you give us some guidance about what they are and how to determine if you have one, etc.?
I sure can, Jim. The control group question still is a problem for many employer groups because we have employer groups that are growing, those that are buying other companies. So companies that have a common owner or are related are often considered a control group. There are parent subsidiary and brother sister control groups. These can be very complicated to figure out, so it's always best for the employer to consult with their own accountant, CPA, or attorney to properly determine if in fact they are a control group. Use the IRS 414 subsections B as in boy, C as in cat, M as in Mary, and O to determine if in fact you are a control group. The ACA says that if there is common ownership of more than one company, the employee counts for all of the companies combined are used to determine if you have 50 or more employees and you are an ALE, which is an applicable large employer. If the answer is yes, that you have 50 or more, then all companies within that control group must offer coverage to their employees that are MEC, minimum essential coverage, minimum value, and affordable, or be subject to the A and B penalties of the ACA law.
Now, some questions about HSAs, health savings accounts. So, Shelley, who can contribute? What is the catch-up contribution? And what happens when you're ready to enroll in Medicare?
Some good questions, Jim. The first one is who can contribute? The HSA is owned by one person. Anyone can contribute. So the employee can contribute, obviously. The employer can contribute, as well as maybe a parent, a grandparent, a friend, a neighbor. Anyone can contribute to that HSA as long as you do not exceed the maximum contribution for that year. Catch-up contributions, these are when the owner reaches age 55 or older, the owner can contribute an extra $1,000 per year into the HSA. As an example, I am the owner, I'm married, and I have children that are still covered under my plan. We have a qualified high deductible health plan that is offered by my employer, and I am covered by family coverage. My spouse and I are each 55 or older. In order for my spouse to contribute to his own catch-up contribution, he must have his own HSA in order to make that catch-up contribution for himself. Because I am the owner of the HSA, I'm going to be able to make my catch-up contribution. And then the last question that you asked me is what happens when you're ready to enroll in Medicare? And this is always a big concern, but when a person is ready to enroll in Medicare, they should stop contributing to their HSA about 6 months before. For some people, this would be at age 65. For others that are still enrolled in a group health plan where Medicare is the secondary payer, the employee can remain on the high deductible health plan and can contribute to the HSA as long as they have not enrolled in Part A or any other parts of Medicare. You're only permitted to have one health plan to contribute to the HSA. So enrolling in the free Part A would be considered a health plan. That would disqualify you from being able to make any future contributions to your HSA. You can always continue to spend the money that you've built up in the HSA.
Coverage to age 30 or 31 for a dependent of a parent on a group health plan. What are the requirements?
Well, this one has seemed to come up a lot lately. It depends on the state, much like what we talked about from the state continuation perspective. Many states have the availability for a person who has aged out of the ACA coverage at age 26 to be able to continue coverage up to age 29, to age 30, to age 31, but it depends on the specific state. As well, each state has their own rules that that person and that parent would need to follow to be able to put the dependent on the plan. So as an example, some states do not allow that dependent to be married. They do not allow the dependent to have any dependents of their own. So I can't have a child who has a child of their own to still be on the plan. Other states, you have to be a resident of the same state as the parent where the insurance is being offered. Some states say you have to be a full-time student in order to be covered. Others say you can't be covered by another policy and that the policy that the parent has must be a fully insured policy. A lot of these self-funded plans do not have to offer this dependent coverage to age 29 or age 30 or age 31. Many times the state allows that person that is aging off at age 26 to pick from the many options that may be available to them. Because they're being terminated at age 26, they can decide to go on COBRA or state continuation. They could choose to purchase an individual plan, or they could go with the coverage under their parent's plan. So once again, it's best to check with the laws of the state where the parent resides, where the group health coverage is being offered, to see what works best for that parent and that child that still needs the coverage.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please join us next month for another edition of Ask the Experts.